From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast.
Coming up today, why the first three names on your team sheet should be Trent Alexander-Arnold after the Liverpool fullback saw more Boxing Day returns than the Lynx Africa gift set. Also, the wild cards are calling. A new keeper every week, and how to prepare to start the new year in style with our Game Week 21 tips. Hello, Fantasy Manager. Happy festive period. I hope it's gone well for you. In for today's bumper edition of the show, we've got Duncan Alexander, co-founder of OptiJoe.
Hello, James.
Hi to you, Duncan. Fantasy football scout and a man who once finished 49th in the world, Jeff Dance.
Hi, James. Good to be here.
And lovely to have you alongside Julien Laurens.
Hi, James.
Shy, self-effacing Julien Laurens.
Yeah.
Who's currently, and he didn't want me to mention this.
No.
What was it?
What are you going to mention?
1,469th in the world.
Yes.
Jules, you're in the top 1,500.
Pretty impressive.
You're only 6 points, and I know you haven't checked this, 6 points off the top 1,000 managers in the world.
No, it's really good. I'm glad Duncan is here so he can, you know, I can teach him a few tricks and a few tips as well.
Yeah, I'm
and to you, Jen, although you're top of our little league for December. So
top of our little league for December.
You're coming back strongly.
How do you say smug in French?
I don't know, I never had to use that word. So,
well, just for future reference, it's suffisant. Yeah, I was top manager in our league for December.
So pretty impressive, yeah.
The most recent month, I won that one.
The biggest month in many ways, in football terms.
In many ways. Listen, I hope you did well in December. If you had Trent Alexander-Arnold in your team, chances are you did. 24 points on Boxing Day alone, which is astonishing, Jeff. That's just incredible numbers.
It's huge, and he's helped me to my second biggest game week of the season so far, so hopefully that continues.
I bet you were happy. Not quite as happy as the 33 managers who triple-captained Trent for the trip to the King Power and received 72 points from that one player alone for this game week. Incredible. Mind you, how many benched him?
180,000.
Well, I think that's probably more people who benched him for the when they were away for the World Club Cup and then with Christmas and all that stuff, forgot to put him back in the team. Can you imagine how they felt as that game unfolded? Oh.
That's awful. Were you caught out at all by any of the unusual deadlines for example, the Boxing Day fixtures? Did anyone have any? No,
Danny Ings was a bit. I think a few people were surprised to see Danny Ings on the bench for this.
Right, yeah. But in terms of actually getting your team ready, because of course Thursday, especially after Christmas, that was a lot to think of. We've got a similar situation coming up, of course, for New Year's Day's games, which will be what 11:30, I guess. On the first.
I think the best tip is to get your team set up immediately after one deadline ends. Set your team up for the next game week. Put the players in you want. Get your captaincy sorted, and then if you forget, at least you've got something kind of planned in there.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, the league code for our own fantasy mini league is 6QP8QK. On the subject of deadlines, of course, the next one to worry about is Saturday, 11:30 UK time for game week 20. What's coming up in those games? Where does the fantasy value lie? We'll be looking at that next. Yeah, 11:30 UK time Saturday morning, the deadline not just for Game Week 20, but also for using your first wild card of the season. If you've still got that lying around somewhere, now's your chance. And of course, after the Game Week starts, we can all immediately go in on our second wild card, which is brilliant.
Year, you know, starting the new year in style.
It is. Just, yeah. Jeff's going to, because Sam Bonfield last week was talking about when's a good time to use the second wild card. And Jeff, I know you've got strong views on that. We'll come on to that a bit later on in our long view section. But for now, just to kind of focus on game week 20, what fixtures leap out at you, Jeff?
So for me, I think Arsenal and Chelsea are interesting more than maybe a place that I want to go. I have Pulisic and Abraham, and I think Chelsea have struggled recently really to do anything, especially those two players. So Abraham is top of the transfers out for this game week. Pulisic and Mount are close to top of transfers out. For me, it's kind of time to move Chelsea on, or at least to think about that. And then Arsenal is such a difficult team to think about right now because new manager, is Aubameyang going to keep starting? Is Lacazette going to keep starting? Their defense kind of is a no-go. So it's an interesting game to watch and kind of think about what we're going to do going forward. But for me, a lot of those players, it's time to move them on or think about moving them on already.
Most of us had two or three Chelsea players, no?
Yeah, yeah. Tammy Abraham's pretty much gone off the ball since I brought him into my team, so apologies for that. I mean, their fixtures aren't looking great. They've got Arsenal twice in the space of five games. So I think not only is it going to be interesting to see how they do against Arsenal, but that's, you know, a pretty good sign of what's going to happen in a few weeks' time as
They don't have a great record as well at the Emirates, Chelsea, at all. I think two wins in the last 10 years. So,
but they play so much better against the team that plays, which is the problem they had at home. And I was at the Chelsea Southampton game yesterday. I saw Frank Lampard after the game, and he said, "We practice so much at training about playing against a team playing deep, defending deep, and being well organized. And we can't just reproduce it in games. That's why they lost against West Ham at home, Bournemouth at home, and now Southampton at home, where they hardly had a chance even to score a goal, which is really worrying for him. So away from home, and against a team like Arsenal, who will play and maybe have a lot of the ball, I think they would find it easier to counterattack.
It's much the same as Manchester United, I think, where it's so hard to find that creative spark to break a team down. And when Pogba came back into the team, that maybe looks like United are back to it. But with Chelsea, who is going to be that player who can actually unlock, make that pass, unlock the team and play those little tight 1-2s and get something going?
I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, the two teams who can basically cope with teams sitting deeper are Liverpool and City. And that's because, you know, if you've got Kevin De Bruyne, you've got Trent Alexander-Arnold, you can open teams up. But
we saw with Spurs when Eriksen came on, you kind of need that player who can unlock a team and get everyone else involved.
Mm. Well, there's another candidate in that role, which Jules is going to be talking about later. But what are you doing with your Chelsea assets then, Mr. Almost Top 1000?
Mr. Top of our league, you mean? That's me, yeah? I don't have any anymore. I just think defensively, they will concede goals. And we saw yesterday, even with the back three, they were open. Tomori made a mistake because I think they're still very young and learning. And offensively, he rotates quite a lot. So Pulisic was on the bench and Mount was on the bench against Southampton. They will probably come back for that game against Arsenal. But I don't know. I just think that sometimes they lack that sort of fluidity. And Willian scored two goals against Spurs. The one was a penalty and two was just an individual exploit, really, but collectively I still thought they struggled to create much against Spurs.
Jules says sell.
So yeah, I wouldn't get any Chelsea players for now.
And you'd get rid of it if you had them in?
Yes, I would, yeah.
Okay, Duncan, what's your fixture of note from this weekend?
Burnley, Man United.
Of course, Burnley.
Because, well, Burnley are in terrible form. They've had one shot on target in their last two games.
Really?
Which, to be fair, did score with and win a match with, which is reasonable. But I don't think
in fancy terms, though.
That's not ideal. United are finally, maybe, looking like they can actually do okay. I mean, they were helped by the fact that Newcastle made three errors leading to goal, which will help when you win 4-1. But I think, obviously, with Greenwood and Rashford kind of dovetailing pretty well.
Right.
You've got a choice there. You can go for Rashford, who's more expensive, but is pretty much going to start every game and is looking very good. Greenwood, I mean, I had Mason Greenwood early in the season as a sort of bench make-weight.
Right.
Got rid of him and, you know, he comes into the team and starts scoring.
You can get back on him. He's still only 4.3 million. 11% of owners worldwide, of managers worldwide, do have him in their squads.
I think I'm going to bring him in for Tammy Abraham, which obviously frees up a fair amount of cash. He's got, you know, the only teenager to score more goals in Europe this season is Jadon Sancho. Yeah, so it shows everyone's been talking about him as this, you know, amazing prospect, and I think we're really seeing it.
And he's actually the cheapest of the forwards you can get. Of any forward, he's the cheapest that you could get. The worry is that he won't start enough games. Will he start? Is James going to take some time off him? Or will Greenwood actually maybe start up front instead of Martial a few times, which is maybe something that Ollie will go to?
Right. But on the subject of Man United, I mentioned a player that we come on to later, but let's talk about him now. Paul Pogba, who, as a player who can unlock the difficult teams, the teams that are sitting back and trying to soak up pressure, could be huge. It certainly looked like his impact was going to be big on United, the way that the 26 minutes after he came on against Watford last weekend shaped up. Jules, are you thinking to bring Pogba in now?
I think it's an interesting conversation to have, at least if you've got the money, because he's 8.4 million, so he's not cheap.
But and he's never really returned on a consistent level.
It depends. So when Solskjaer arrived a year ago, for example, he had that incredible five or six games in a row where he scored and assisted and brought you a lot of points last season. This season is hard because he hadn't played since September the 30th. Even before that, he was also a bit injured. So, but you saw against Watford in 25 minutes that he created three chances, one for himself and one for Greenwood, one for Rashford as well. So he will bring that creativity. I think it's an interesting one to think about if you can have that money, because I think he will score from long range as well. He's got the ability. He will create, he will take penalties. I think, well, at least some of them, him and Rashford probably. So it's one to keep in mind.
And you think he's going to be playing a little bit further forward now?
Yes, I think McTominay and Fred will be the two sitting holding midfielders, really. And Pogba will play in that sort of number 10 free role where Lingard has been playing really lately. With then the front three of Martial and Rashford and James, or Greenwood instead of James, which I think will get the best out of Pogba as well. And now, if you look 25 minutes against Watford, then 45 minutes against Newcastle, and you could think that maybe not in game week 20, but maybe in game week 21 against Arsenal away, he could be starting now for United.
The fly in the ointment there is obviously McTominay. Looks like he's got quite a bad injury.
Yes.
So that might then force Pogba further back. But
In a way, at least that means that we pretty much know that Pogba will start next game and that he'll have to play. So, although, yeah, it's not great that he won't be playing in a number 10, at least he will play, I would think.
Okay. Newcastle, who were in such generous mood Boxing Day at Old Trafford, are hosting Everton this weekend, where I think a lot of fancy managers are keen to see what Carlo Ancelotti, multiple Champions League winning manager Carlo Ancelotti, is going to do with some pretty exciting, potentially exciting fantasy assets there.
Definitely, and I think we saw in the game, in his first game in charge, in the formation, the changes. I don't think we saw much changing in the way they played, or there was not anything revolutionary. But the three at the back, which means that pushes Sidibe a bit forward as a wing back, which I think is perfect for a player like Sidibe, who we will mention in the differentials, because I think it's a very interesting one to keep in mind, Sidibe. But just the change of formation from Ancelotti, I thought, was really interesting. They won the game late with Calvert-Lewin. But if you look at Sidibe, at Calvert-Lewin, maybe Richarlison is always one to keep in mind. I think the fact that with Ancelotti, they would play that different formation, which I think will have more of the ball and will play higher on the pitch, could help and could be good to bring some Everton players in.
Sidibe now has four assists in his last six starts under any manager, which is great. And that he wasn't always playing in that wing back role either. So there's definitely potential there.
How regular a starter is he?
We'll see.
Started,
I think.
Started all the last few games, and Coleman played at the centre back in game week 19.
Right.
With Sidibe playing as a right wing back. So clearly in Ancelotti's mind, Sidibe, he's his right back or right wing back, and Coleman could deputise as centre back like he did in that game.
It's always a little bit unclear when a new manager comes in, but I think the first match is always, it gives you a lot to go on. So whoever's picked for the first game, you kind of go, okay, well, maybe that's somebody that the new manager is going to like. Like Ozil, potentially at Arsenal, he starts in the lineup. Pepe doesn't start. Maybe that's Arteta saying to Pepe, we need to see more from you. We need to see you tracking back. But at the same time, going to Ozil,
look,
we trust you.
Okay, well, one other fixture I just quickly wanted to ask about is somebody with multiple Leicester assets. Should I be ditching them now? Their form seems to be fading. Or is it just the fact that they played Man City and Liverpool?
Yeah, I think those two fixtures are always going to be tricky for them, and so it proved. But they've got a really good run of fixtures coming up.
Well, West Ham on Saturday, which is tasty.
Yeah, then Newcastle, Southampton, Burnley, and then West Ham again. So, I mean, I think that, you know, Brendan Rodgers is not going to ditch his approach just because they lost to City and Liverpool. And I think Leicester are basically just going to, you know, pick up where they left off before those matches. So I'd almost argue bring in more Leicester players. I'm thinking of bringing in Kasper Schmeichel. So.
Nice. Okay. Before you do that, Duncan, hang on, because Jeff's going to give us a bit of goalkeeper chat in a second or two in the long view section as we cast our eyes a little bit further down the fancy Premier League schedule. Right, long view. Looking forward to that goalie chat, Jeff. Also, give us a heads up on what to do about New Year's Day's games. And, of course, from Saturday 11:30, the second wild card. Should I play it right away or wait 5 minutes and then play it? What do you think? What do the figures say? Because Sam last week was saying the smart manager plays the wild card early, even the second one, and they, you know, because you get the players you want in earlier, you reap the benefit by the end of the season. Hang around for those double game weeks later on, and a pair of fixtures that you thought were going to be brilliant actually turn out to be underwhelming.
Yeah, I'd go the opposite. I think that playing your first wild card early makes a lot of sense, because then you can see how the season's kind of going and you can jump on some price rises. I think I used mine in game week 3 and I made a lot of money because when I played it early and a lot of players were rising that I didn't have. The second one, though, I think maybe play it early if your team is a mess, but otherwise, saving it for double game weeks when you have your chips to use, your free hit to use, you can kind of strategize and make sure that you have the full kind of complement of players for all of those games. That, to me, makes a whole lot of sense, but it does depend on your team a little bit.
Well, that's fair. All right, Longview is where we often look at the next six games or so for any given team. And it might be worth doing that now for Saints because they had an extraordinary result on Boxing Day away at Chelsea. Extraordinary, not least because they left out the man who'd been powering their drive away from the bottom three, Danny Ings, rested for the upcoming game New Year's Day against Crystal Palace. Britrock asks, I'm slightly concerned I've missed the boat with Ings, and as a Saints fan, I'm worried I will jinx his scoring run if I get him in now. How does the pod deal with these dilemmas, Duncan?
Well, I would say you can easily jinx players. That is definitely a true thing that happens. But I don't think you've missed the boat with Ings because he's basically Southampton's key man. The reason he was rested at Chelsea was because he's so key. And I think, you know, all season Southampton have created really good chances. The reason they've struggled is they haven't really taken them until the point where Danny Ings has remembered he's actually a really good player. And I don't think that's going to fade away in the next few months.
Although the next six fixtures are difficult. Palace, then Spurs, Leicester, Wolves, Palace again, and then Liverpool.
True, but then, you know, Chelsea looked like a difficult fixture for them. I think they've hit on an approach. You know, Hasenhüttl's obviously changed things a lot since the 9-0 against Leicester. I think that the approach they've settled on now seems to work against bigger teams. You know, they're sitting back. James Ward-Prowse is looking particularly creative in a more central position. And Ings is getting on the end of the chances. So I think he is a very good option.
I also think that just because a player has scored well in the past, don't think that that means that going forward he won't score. Maybe that's actually a good thing. So with Jamie Vardy, for example, people thought, oh, I've missed the boat on him, but he just keeps on scoring. So if 5 games ago you said, I don't want to get Vardy because he's scored too many times, well, he's going to keep scoring. He's still a good player. So maybe the same with things. You have to look forward. But
all right. Does that apply to Trent Alexander-Arnold as well, or 7.2 million of him? Looking at the fixtures and after such a bumper return, my natural inclination was a little bit, well, I've just missed out on the right week to have him. It would be a 1 week too late to bring him in now. What do you think? Do I need to have him in my team? Do managers have to have Trent?
Yeah, surely.
I mean, he's got his expected assist figures are off the scale. You know, he's got 20 assists since the start of last season. He's not going to have a dip. The only thing I would say is I'm thinking about bringing in Robertson as well because on the odd occasion that a team does manage to nullify Trent, you know, usually Andy Robertson profits because he's got more space.
Well, so Liverpool haven't had that many clean sheets. If they start to come through with clean sheets, then having two of them is a great, great option. I'm actually going the other way where I think I want two Liverpool midfielders. So I want Trent with Mane and Salah potentially. At some point, there'll be a double game week because Liverpool have missed a fixture already. So I'm kind of looking and trying to figure out where that's going to be. But thinking about Salah and Mane or maybe Trent and Robertson for
right.
that.
And in the meantime, there's also slightly less of a rotation worry, at least until mid-February when Champions League returns, because apart from the FA Cup, things should calm down once we get past New Year's Day. The fixtures don't worry us for Liverpool. They've got Wolves at home coming up and then Sheffield United at home and then Spurs and Man United after that.
If Trent was just a defensive defender, then maybe I would be worried. But he's got so much attacking threat. And Liverpool, until they start losing games, I'm going to keep thinking they're going to win games, which means they score some goals. So for me, it's not that much of a worry because he's got so much attacking threat, as we saw with 3 assists and a goal.
Has everybody else got Trent? Just me, is it? You, listener?
Yeah. Me. I do worry a bit about the rotation, though. I do think that I wouldn't be surprised if between the next two games, as we say, Wolves and Sheffield United at home, if he was benched for one of those two. No. They went to Qatar, they travel. I think they're so clear ahead of City and Leicester that Klopp can easily start a defence with Joe Gomez at right back and Milner left back and rest Robertson and Trent. Imagine they play and they get injured for 3 months out. I'm a bit worried
that
he's going to rotate them.
That is true, but I think you can't really judge a season on the Christmas New Year fixtures because there's always going to be rotation.
No. It's true. I just think that it makes sense for Klopp to play his best team against Leicester for Game Week 19. It would make a lot of sense for him to rotate massively either against Wolves in the next game or against Sheffield United as well.
I would say if Trent gets rested, it'll probably be Game Week 20 because he's one yellow card away from a one-game suspension.
So that's coming up this weekend.
Yeah, so if he gets through this Game Week, then he's fine and then it gets extended beyond 5 yellow cards. So it's this next one that he if he gets yellow card here, then he gets suspended for one game, which might mean that this is the game for him to be rested. I'm not too worried, but potentially that could happen.
Another player who really caught the eye on Boxing Day was Jordan Ayew with that fantastic goal against West Ham. He's cheap. They've got good fixtures coming up. Are you considering him, Jeff?
I'm not. Palace had a long run where they had really nice fixtures, and Ayew just kind of failed to deliver. It was 8 game weeks, 2 points every single game week. Mm. Yeah, he had a really nice game week 19, but despite the 2 upcoming fixtures, I think he's probably someone I'm not going to look at. There are better options in the forward positions.
Okay. Does everybody else agree?
I think he's still a second striker. You know, he's not a number 9 who will score you 20 goals a season. He can't do that. The goal he scored against West Ham was great. He had to do all the hard work by himself as well. I don't think Palace create enough for him then to be that finisher.
Yeah, Palace have scored 17 goals. That's fewer than 2 of the teams in the relegation zone. So, you know, they get results from grinding out performances, not from free scoring.
All right. Well, also on the subject of Palace, and Jeff, this brings us on nicely to your red-hot goalkeeper chat. Umang writes in and says, should I replace Schmeichel, the move you're thinking of in reverse, with Gaeta, Palace keeper?
I think that this is maybe going to be a game week when lots of people are doing goalkeeper transfers, and I'm thinking about doing a hit for a goalie, which is something I never do, but Pope and Henderson both have really difficult fixtures. If you have a goalie with 4 out of 5 fixtures against top teams, you can kind of expect that they won't get clean sheets there, and that's when maybe a hit is useful. So I'm looking at Gazzaniga. I'm looking at Ramsdale with Bournemouth. Their fixtures are really nice. Heaton at Villa as well. And I know Schmeichel, Duncan, you're looking at. I think there are some really nice picks there. And I don't think I'd get rid of Schmeichel. That doesn't quite make sense. But if you have Pope or Henderson, it's maybe time to move them on.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Matt Ryan, mainly because I was impressed by his very calm stance at goal kicks, but that doesn't really translate very well to fantasy football. So he's not really done much for me at all. So I definitely need to make a change. And as I said earlier, you know, Schmeichel is still a good goalkeeper, a bit churlish after the Liverpool game. But Leicester have got really good fixtures coming up. So I think he's a good option.
It's also interesting. Now we're getting to the point of the season where we might have a little bit more money in the bank. And that might mean that we can start going for keepers like Alisson. So like I said before, there will be a double game week at some point. Maybe it's time to start going for a more expensive keeper. But what I'm doing is I'm going to keep Henderson, I think, and then get someone to cover for that. So right now I have a Button who is a non-playing goalkeeper. Mm. I'll go Henderson and then maybe get Gazzaniga or something like that. So Henderson's tough fixtures are covered, but then I can kind of pick one or the other each game week.
I see. Jules, who have you got?
I've got Henderson. I've just brought him in thinking that he would do well on game week 19. He didn't, because they considered the goal.
Yeah.
I've changed a lot. I had Ryan before, I had Pope as well. Mm. And I'm thinking about almost changing every week and going for the keeper who I think would keep a clean sheet that week and use my transfer.
Using a transfer every week?
Yeah, pretty much. Just on the goalkeeper, yeah. I remember talking with Jeff about it at the start.
You're saying things like this every time you're up in the top.
He's just trying to distract us.
No, but we talked about it at the start of the season, and I'm sure Jeff was on the show, and a lot of people do rotating keepers. So you don't keep Alisson for the whole season, or
no,
you don't
you
keep Alisson.
No, you have two keepers.
But usually you have one who never plays and the other one who plays. But the one who plays, you rotate him a bit more than you usually do, because I think it's quite clever to use it. Because the price of transfer is so close usually between keepers, you can easily find, okay, these fixtures or the next 2 or 3 fixtures, I will put Henderson in, and then after 3 weeks you go back to Pope, and after 3 weeks you go back to Schmeichel or someone like that. I think it's clever to do that.
It's hard to argue with someone who's that.
Who's stuff on the table again? Oh, yeah.
For me, though, I mean, it feels like a bit of a waste of a transfer, but obviously if it works, it works. And if you're targeting a big run of fixtures, then it does work. So if you look at Ramsdale from Bournemouth, for example, there's, I think, up until game week 27, there are good fixtures right through there. So if you're looking at moving somebody on, Henderson or Pope, and you want just one keeper you can keep, and then when the fixtures turn, maybe somebody like Ramsdale, maybe it does make sense. For me, I try to keep my transfers. I want as many secure options as I can, but look, Jules is top 1,500, so.
Plenty to think about there going forward. Up next, we'll discuss our essential differentials. Essential differential. Players with less than 10% ownership worldwide. Niche assets, if I may, but ones that are going to give you fat returns. Omar is looking for similar. Omar wants a budget striker. Says Omar, should I go for De La Feo or Calvert-Lewin? Calvert-Lewin's owned by a miserly 1.7%. De La Feo, slightly more popular at 2.1%, but they're both very, very low.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about Calvert-Lewin as an option because he's got 24 points since Everton got rid of Marco Silva. Obviously, he benefited from the Duncan Ferguson era, as we look back on it. You know, a lot of crosses. But he's actually got 3 headed goals in the Premier League this season. Only Chris Wood has got more. I don't think Ancelotti's going to look at the Everton squad and decide to play a complete, you know, a la Man City. He's still going to kind of utilise the wide players. We talked about Sidibe as well. So I think Calvert-Lewin is a pretty good option over the next few weeks. Anyway.
Right. On the subject of Everton, Sidibe, as he was saying, but Richarlison, does he factor heavily in your thinking? Or
I'm not sure. I would go for Sidibe, whose ownership is only 0.6%. So that's a great differential to have. And Calvert-Lewin ahead of Richarlison. I'm still not sure about how consistent he could be. And I think Ancelotti will use him wide, which I'm still not sure what his best position is, to be fair.
And Omar's question, which was the choice, actually, between Calvert-Lewin and Deulofeu. Jeff, would you agree that Calvert-Lewin's the way to go?
Potentially. I'm interested to see how Ancelotti uses Keane, because I'm a little worried that Keane's going to take game time off of Richarlison or maybe Calvert-Lewin.
Right.
Deulofeu, he has to play for Watford, basically. So it's pretty close. I actually, if I was going for a striker around that price, I might go for my differential this week, who's Josh King from Bournemouth. So one return in 12 game weeks doesn't really sound promising, but if Bournemouth can put it together, then he's going to have to be part of that. And at the same time, Callum Wilson, they're both at 4% ownership, essentially. Both of them don't have returns in the last 12 game weeks, but like I said before, the fixtures are good. Brighton, West Ham, Watford, Norwich, Brighton. It just keeps going like that. So although they don't have any form, if you get on them now, it might be the beginning of a big run.
Right. One return in 12 game weeks.
One return for King, none for Wilson. But the we know that they can score when they're in form and
I thought Callum Wilson looked really sharp against Arsenal in game week 19. He scored a goal that was offside. It was slightly offside, but I thought compared to a few of the games that he had before, he had problems with injuries as well. He looks like he's fitness wise at least back to where he was before last season, especially when he was scoring a lot and everything.
Yeah, and the first 7 game weeks this year, he had attacking returns in each of those game weeks, and then he's just gone this run of 12 without anything. Right. But he was injured for some of those games. They had a really difficult run for a bit of that. So
they won 1-10. Yeah. So if he gets back on the score sheet as well, they're going to start winning again.
Are you looking at Callum Wilson, Jules?
Yeah, 4.8%, as Jeff was saying. He's 7.4 million, so he's still a bit expensive if you compare with Danny Ings and players like that.
Right.
But it could be interesting to put him back into your team
now.
And
that's where King at 6.1, he is probably on penalties, so he's a little bit cheaper, maybe a little bit less of a risk because he's less expensive.
And he also looked very lively against Arsenal. Duncan, courtesy of Opta, can you give us the numbers behind their lack of returns? Are they almost getting returns?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of XG, Wilson's about par. He's got about XG of just over 5 and he's scored 5 goals. Josh King's the one. He's only scored 3. He's had chances of about 4. Now we know worth about 4, but we know Josh King is a better player than that. So
so again, King looks like the better option for you.
Yeah.
All right then. Excellent. Very good. Well, those are plenty of potential moves. But which transfers are the panel actually going to make, and who gets to wear the captain's armband for this weekend? We'll find that out next. Well then, Duncan, what's your move? You're going to bring in Calvert-Lewin, and have you got another one up the sleeve?
Well, it's going to be Calvert-Lewin or Greenwood, so I need to free up some cash to bring in Schmeichel.
Who's being sacrificed?
So it's, do I get rid of Tammy Abraham?
Yes.
Or do I get rid of Diogo Jota? We just talked about XG, and other than David McGoldrick, Diogo Jota's got the biggest gap between. He's only scored 3 goals, but he's had chances worth almost 6 goals. So he should be scoring more goals than he is.
Yeah. Speaking of David Goldrick, who should be scoring more goals than he is it true that you were going to do him as your essential differential this week, but bottled it?
That's a rumour that's going
true,
around.
I heard someone telling me that as well.
He's going to score now, and I'm going to look indecisive.
Okay, all right. Jules?
I'm thinking of bringing Jack Grealish.
Really? But
yeah.
He's not a keeper. I thought nowadays you only did transfers for keepers.
Yeah, but if I will change. I've got 2 transfers this week. One will be a keeper for sure, and the other one could be Grealish. I just think he's in that at that level now where he plays with so much confidence, so much swag. Clearly, all the team is built around him, which we knew before. But I think, you know, he especially at home, And they've got a good run of fixtures
coming
up.
Well, they're away at Watford and then away at Burnley. They're not the easiest of games.
No, they're not. And then Man City as well. Yeah. But then Brighton, Watford at home and Bournemouth.
Oof.
And I still think Grealish, who takes set pieces as well. So, you know, wild free kicks and things like that. We saw the assist for Orehan on game week 19 for Villa against Norwich. So I'm really interested in Grealish, who's 6.4 million. So not too expensive either.
That's true.
Yeah, and I already have Grealish. I brought him in this week already. So he's the second most transferred in player this game week.
Is he?
I got rid of Pulisic because I just think that it's time to get rid of Chelsea, and I'm going to keep Abraham for a bit because I think maybe game week 24 is when I get rid of him. They've got three nice fixtures after this one. So then my second move, which will be a hit, will be for goalkeeper, and that's probably going to be Button to Gazzaniga, maybe Button to Ramsdale, but then I could also maybe look at getting Henderson out just for a keeper who I'm going to play every single week. I like the idea of rotating, though.
Time to push the button, Jeff. All right, who gets to wear the captain's armband, though, for you? Tough decision midweek. I mean, Vardy had been the go-to guy for so long. Cleverly, I actually swapped it across to Dele Alli. And that
is quite clever, yeah. Dele Alli has been good. He's an option for me. Away at Norwich. I hovered between Mane and Alexander-Arnold, genuinely, for the Leicester game. Went for Mane. Nice decision there. possibly could see Mane doing well against Wolves. They may get him, or probably just shift back to Vardy away at West Ham, because their defence is not looking good.
So. Okay, Jules?
I moved my captaincy from Vardy to Rashford this week, which was a good move, but I think I might bring it back to Vardy.
Vardy against West Ham?
Yeah, against West Ham.
Yeah, and last week was such a hard decision. I think it looks kind of the same thing this week. I'm looking at De Bruyne, Mane, Rashford, Vardy, Ali even. I might go Rashford because he was taken off early in that game, so he's guaranteed to start. He probably will be fresh and ready to go, and they've got some confidence, but Vardy is looking at me as well.
Okay. 11:30 Saturday morning, 11:30 UK time, of course. And then again next Wednesday at 11:30 on New Year's Day. Those are the deadlines. Best of luck. Hope that's been of some use to you. The thoughts of Duncan, Jeff, and Mr. Top 1500.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
You should have mentioned it, Jules.
That's me. I had forgotten.
How many points, Jules, are you off the top 100 in the world?
I am 35 points.
You've actually checked.
That's yeah, so I was. Sweet. Yeah. Yeah, I just looked. You never know. Towards the end of the season, you know, I'm still in the cup as well. So I'm playing every. Where are you in the cup?
I'm in the cup. I'm in the same round that you
good.
Are.
I mean, we're recording this ahead of the Wolves City game.
Ah, that's
true. And Jules has got Traore. So
and Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah, but a lot of people have got Kevin De Bruyne. Right. But if Traore does something in that game, I would advise you to mute or block Jules on social media.
If you haven't already.
It's a good idea. It's a good idea, that.
Right. And that's true. Who knows where you could be by the time this actually drops?
True.
Mm. Brilliant. Excellent. Well, best of luck to everybody, especially whoever Jules is facing in the cup. And we will be returning. Kelly Sommers is actually going to be in for me next week because I'm away. But we'll be returning. Best of luck, everybody. And thanks very much for joining us today. If you'd like some more FPL content like the FPL Show and FPL FYI in the meantime, then head over to PremierLeague.com.